7.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Mondays, everybody. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I'm done with this heat. I'm done. That's all I can tell you. Man, it was hot. It's just, you guys know as well as I do. So anyway, looks like, according to the weather reports now, that we are going to start slowly cooling down a degree at a time. And then come Friday, what did I see here? Let's see here. Come Friday, 89 degrees for a high. And then it just starts getting lower and lower until after Labor Day Monday, and then back to summer. So anyway, hey, I'll take 3 or 4 days of this. We'll see what goes on with that. I just got a text message from on the creek up at Sweetwater. I'll also wait till break to read it. I don't like surprises. Anyway, let's check out some temperatures around western Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, 91 degrees at Slapout, 95 at Alva, 93 at Putnam, 94 at Eric, 93 at Hollis, and 94 at Hobart. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, 93 at Lipscomb, 91 at Miami, 92 at Dozer, 93 at Wellington, and 94 at Odell. I hate people that have my phone number. The one and only Tyler Wilhelm is listening today. So, anyway, cool. He knows I love his music. Matter of fact, he's the only singer ever been on my show before, so he's privileged. He's a privileged country boy. Anyway, nothing exciting. It was just hot this weekend. All I did was water the peanuts, pick tomatoes. I passed, let's see, I picked 50 pounds yesterday, so I'm right at 2,600 and something pounds. I got it wrote down at the house, and anyway, it's a lot of maters, is all I can tell you. Next year, I don't know if I'm going to change my plan or not, but yes, I know I got the face for radio. Hey, I want to share this with you guys real quick, if you don't mind. Let me find it first. Exciting news coming out of the Clark Farms. Man, I'm a little slow with this today, so you guys just bear with me. Ah, I found it. All right, you guys ready? September 24th, put this on your schedule. It's going to be, that's a Tuesday, and it's going to be happening from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Jimmy Clark Farm west of Carter on the river. We would love for you guys to RSVP by September 20th. And you can do that by, first of all, I guess I need to tell you what it's for, right? It's a high tunnel workshop. Install, management, and production is going to be happening at my high tunnel. And this is put on by the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, including Focus Farms, and guess what? The NRCS. Be happening at my place. So Steve and Andrew Hill will be there talking about construction, different sizes, different ways to construct, different options on a high tunnel. And the NRCS is going to be there talking about let's see what they want to talk about here. I need to learn talking about the benefits of growing in a high tunnel, different types of high tunnel, proper installation methods, crop management techniques, and most important part, federal financial programs available for installing these high tunnels on your place. And of course, I'm going to do my show live from there that day. If I can get phone signal, that's a bad spot where that high tunnel's at. But anyway, we'll figure it out. I got a really smart boss here. He'll probably go down there and put up a 100-foot tower just so I have cell phone service. But anyway, September 24th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch will be provided. And like I said, it'll be me, North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, Focus Farms out of Edmond, and the USDA, the NRCS, right here out of Beckham County. So put that on your agenda there, would you? It'll be fun. And I don't know what the garden's going to look like by September 24th, but you'll get the idea when you get there. I'm trying to get the stickers all out of there so you guys wear flip-flops to these kind of events won't be getting stickers in your toes. But we'll see. And another thing coming up that I need to provide information with you guys too is a four-county CEU meeting. It's going to be, what is the date, the 26th? So it'll be Wednesday, August 28th, 9:30 to 2:30 at the Western Tech Center here in Elk City on 301 Western Drive in Elk City. Beckham County, Custer County, Roger Mills, Warsaw County, all involved in this deal. Four CEUs credit pending. Speaker will be Western Equipment, Josh Bashan, Liberty Galvin, and Jenny Dudak. Topics will be drift management, wheat and cotton, peanut weed management, John Deere calibration, nozzle selection, on and on. Steak lunch will be provided by Western Equipment. So you need to RSVP. It's probably a little late, but you might call and find out. Because I just got this Friday. RSVP at your local county office as quick as you can if it's not too late. And that's Beckham, Custer, Roger Mills, and Warsaw County. And I'll bet they'll let anybody from any other county come to that. So if you're needing some CEUs, here you go. You can get four of them. That's one an hour from my math. Maybe one every hour, 15 minutes. But if you need that, go for it. All right. Let's see what happened overnight in our big ag world. Soybean futures fell in overnight trading on further calls that the U.S. crop will be a record. U.S. soy production was forecast at 4.74 million, not million, billion bushels on yields of 54.9 bushels per acre by scouts on the annual Pro Farmer Crop Tour, which came to a close Friday. If realized, this will be a record high for output and yield, according to the USDA. Earlier this month, the USDA pegged soybean output at 4.589 billion bushels on a yield of 53.2. So, I guess this Pro Tour that was out last week thinks it's going to be more. So, we'll see. Corn output is seen at 14.979 billion bushels on yields of 181.1 billion bushels an acre, according to the Pro Farmers. Production was forecast in mid-August at 15.14 billion bushels on yields of 183.1, according to the USDA. Still underpinning prices is extremely hot weather moving into the parts of the Midwest. Excessive heat warnings and watches have been issued today and tomorrow from Iowa east into Indiana and from Wisconsin south into Oklahoma, according to the National Weather Service. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 8 cents to 965 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean meal fell 270 to 301.80 a short ton, and soy oil rose 0.04 cents to 40.42 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery overnight fell 4.25 to 386.75 a bushel. Wheat futures fell 2.25 to 525.75 a bushel in Chicago. Kansas City futures lost 3.5 to 531.5 a bushel. Investors push their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn and bean futures to the highest level in 3 weeks, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Money managers held a net 257,259 futures contracts in corn on the 7 days that ended August 20th. The agency said that's up from 253,000 contracts a week earlier. Investors were net short by 167,000 soybean future contracts last week. That's up from 154,000 a week earlier. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms were net short by 35,378 contracts in hard red futures, up from 33,000 a week prior. Investors cut their net short positions in soft red winter wheat to 49,932 future contracts. That's down from 71,000 7 days earlier. So there you go. What's the weather doing? I just said what the weather's doing. Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, all the way down here into Oklahoma. Heat indexes this afternoon to range from 105 to 115. The excessive heat warning will run from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we'll see how it goes today. It's just hot. Anyway, also, I'm starting a betting pool if anybody wants to gamble with me. It'll be Dr. Pepper's and coffee. The bets will be. Anybody think anybody's going to dust some weed in this week looking at that forecast this weekend? I know somebody's going to. You know they are, because they're not, and if they are, they're not checking their grasshopper crop and their army worm crop. I noticed on social media somebody said that army worms had moved into their grass over the weekend and was wanting to know what to spray. So anyway, all I can say is be careful. I'm thinking about it. That's all I'm doing. I'm thinking about it. So we'll see. I'm sure somebody will talk me out of it. I got an 80 that I'm really wanting to get in early. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's go ahead and take Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. It is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour, all hour on Mondays. And we'll be right back after this break.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. While leaning over the fence, your neighbor said you could save money bundling home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. Your neighbor leaned over a little too much and broke your fence. Dumb news. Somehow fence wood is more expensive than wood. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and to plant really tall shrubs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August the 16th. 1,957 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 433 brought 317.50. 5 at 464 brought 338. 7 at 484 brought 310. 4 at 565 brought 265. 9 at 637 brought 258. 15 at 809 brought 244. 16 head of heifers at 408 brought 298. 5 at 470. 73 brought 260, 4 at 8 at 629 brought 250, 9 at 643 brought 241, 20 at 689 brought 243, 8 at 739 brought 230. Butcher cows were 22 to 162, butcher bulls brought 120 to 179.50, bred cows were 1400 to 2900, pairs were 1685 to 3350. Elk City Livestock, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. Wellington, Texas, 94 degrees. Heat index at 94. Humidity's 33. Dew point 60. The wind's out of the southeast at 12 with gust up to 18. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.07 of an inch. Not much. Red flag menace today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature, 92 degrees. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Grain Market. September corn, 362, down 5.5. December, 386, down 4.5. Soybeans for September, 955, up 3.75. November's 976, up 3.25. Soybean meal for September, 309.70, up 340. October, 304.70, up 240. Soybean oil, September, 41.66, up 19. October, 41.09, up 34. What's wheat doing today? Not terrible. September, hard red winter wheat, 522, up 2.5. December is 535, up 20 cents or 2 cents. I mean, not even that. Hang on here. Up a quarter. I got it. I got this. Promise you, it's Monday. December wheat is 535, up a quarter. How's that? It's better. You guys want to hear what cotton's doing? Tough. Cotton farmers told me they don't want to hear it, so I'm not going to say nothing about it. Sugar Daddy. Sugar Daddy's back in the green again today. October sugar, number 11, 19.04 cents a pound, up 65. And what do we got? West Texas Intermediate crude oil. October 77.19, up 236. Natural gas is back down below $2 at $1.97 for September. Looks like the S&P and the NASDAQ are in the red and the Dow is in the green. And let's check out our cattle. Live cattle for October 177.22, up 152. December 176.50, up $1.30. And February is 177.52, up 105. Feeder cattle for September, 241.52, up 295. October, 237.67, up 330. Hogs are in the red all the way up until next May. October is 80.02, down 52. And December, 70.45, down 30. How about that? I got something here. Let me get rid of some stuff here. If you haven't went and got your copy of the Penny News and you're wanting to sell some hay tomorrow, go get a copy of the Penny News. And on page 7, I believe, in the Today in Ag segment, there's the deal on how to do the hay tomorrow. Last segment of the show on Tuesdays, on Hay Day Tuesdays, If you send me, text that information in to the radio station, not to my personal phone, I will read what hay you got for sale. Just follow the rules. There are not a lot of rules. I just need some information. And I just don't want to say, hey, he's got some hay for sale. Here's his phone number. Nope. If you don't have that information, I'm not going to announce it. But anyway, or if you're looking for hay, don't be bashful. It's easy to get on my text line here at 580-225-9697. And like I said, we're adding tomorrow, starting tomorrow, we're adding basically the area where the hay's at. So if you're in Woodward County or Beaver County or Harmon County or Kiowa, that way people listening is like, I don't want to go all the way down there to get that hay. So they won't bother and call you and find out you're 250 miles away. So, but speaking of hay, the U.S. hay production expected to increase again in 2024. While row crop estimates get the most attention, the USDA's August crop production report also provides an initial estimate of U.S. hay production and includes projections for individual states. Hay production and stocks have major implications for winter feed supply and winter feed costs for cattle operations. Widespread drought in 2022 led to low hay production levels and left very limited hay supplies going into 23. This can be seen in the USDA's May 1 hay stocks figure below. Note that the hay stocks in the United States on May 1st of last year were at their lowest levels since 2013. A sharp increase can also be seen in 2024 as the large Jur 23 crop helped replenish many hay stocks. According to this, millions of tons, and this was May 1st. So in 2021, there was a little like 18 million tons of hay. And in 2022, there was like 17 million. And then last year, it was like 14 million tons of hay. This year, we're well above 20 million tons of hay. Not near a record, but up in the top 10 of production, like 22 million tons of hay. Last week's report suggested increases in production were likely at the national level for both alfalfa and alfalfa mixes, as well as all other hay in 2024. These are the only two categories of hay which estimates are made for by the USDA. Let's see here. What else they got to say? As I've done the last few years, I've selected some states' estimates from the August report to provide some regional perspective on likely hay production levels. I know there's a lot of hay in Oklahoma right now. It says right here, Texas and Missouri especially stand out, and it's worth noting that they are projected to be the two states with the highest production levels nationwide. Oklahoma stands out to the downside, but that decrease is driven by a sizable crop that's expected in harvest areas, acres. Hay production was projected higher in Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. That was down 10% in the outlier in the southeast. While a lot can change from the respect to hay production this fall, the August crop production report does paint a picture of increased hay supplies in many areas. So let's see here. Let's just do this briefly. Non-alfalfa hay production estimates in selected states. Let's go with Kansas. In 2023, there was 2,781,000 tons. And in 24, a little over 3 million tons. And that's up 8.9%. In Oklahoma, I don't know about this. Sometimes these numbers either confuse me or I think they're fake news. How's that? In Oklahoma in 2023, production was seen at 6.6 million, basically. This year, it was estimated at 5.2 million. I don't know. And it says it's down 20%, 20.5% to be exact. And Texas, 8.2 million tons. in 23, and this past year, 10.7 million tons, up 30%. So I don't know. What do you guys think? You think hay production in Oklahoma is down this year or up? That was a lot of hay put up. I mean, in our area, I don't know about very northwest, don't know about the very southwest. And I know there's a lot of hay over around Enid. I talked to a hay buyer the other day, gentleman, and he said there was hay everywhere. So I don't know. We'll see what goes on there. Also, I need a favor from somebody. I got a company that's looking for about 500 barrels of fresh water out of a well somewhere in the Vinson area. Anybody got a well down there that they'd be willing to sell this company 500 barrels, which is 21,000. What is that? 21,000. I used to know 21,000 gallons of water. They're just going to haul it to a place and store it, but they're looking for a close place from Vinson to purchase some water, 500 barrels, and haul it to a location not too far from Vinson to store some water. So if anybody knows anybody that'd be interested in selling some water down there, 580-225-9697. Please text their information to me, and I'll pass it on to this company. And they just need 500 barrels of water. How about that? Well, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll have more about the OCA. We'll see what that report did to the market that came out Friday on feedlot numbers. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I got some breaking news out of Roger Mills County over there by Sweetwater. This is via Monty Tucker. On this day, a Monday, I had a flat on a plow and actually had a new implement tire mounted with proper inflation on a rim that actually fit the plow. Very rare on a typical farm. Breaking news. Yeah, that is rare. You drive around, even when you go to some of the sales like this one out here by the Elk City Sale Barn a couple weeks ago, I noticed there's a little, maybe some different wheels and tire types on each axle. Throw it on there, it'll work. Let's check out Buffalo, Oklahoma for your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. I seen over the weekend they kept having pop-up showers in this area. Matter of fact, unless the mesonet's wrong, which I doubt, between Buffalo and down towards Laverne, Fort Supply in that area, some areas down there got over an inch of rain over the weekend. Buffalo, it's 91 degrees there, feels like 93. Excuse me, the heat risk is low. Dew point 65, the humidity is 43%. Winds are out of the east at 6 miles an hour. The last 24 hours, you've got 9/10 of rain. That's 900/1,000 of an inch, 0.9. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 88 degrees. Sunset at 8:16. 10% chance isolated thunderstorms today with a high around 100. Southwest to southeast winds tonight, same thing, 70, well, not same thing, cooler, 71 degrees for low. Southeast winds to south, 5 to 10. Tomorrow, sunny and 95. Here goes the slow but surely easy cool down coming up. And it's just in time. Football starts this week. College football starting this week. So I'm pumped. All right. Speaking of weather, the El Nino pattern is winding down. Extended periods of summer-like weather favor rapid late-season crop maturity. Ongoing spells of hot weather will continue through the rest of the summer, with some record to near-record levels forecasted for early autumn. The rainfall pattern will continue to reflect deeper tropical moisture pools across the southern plains and through the eastern and southeastern states. Meanwhile, precipitation totals will trend to normal to just a bit below the seasonal average throughout the nation's midsection. A drier weather pattern relative to midsummer will continue into the Pacific Northwest and much of the West. Speaking of drought, I talked to a really good friend of mine out in Raton, Mexico, New Mexico this morning, and he said they have, right at Raton, they've had very, very little, if any, rain, and what it's caused it to do is a lot of your animals, maybe mainly mule deer, to come down into the valleys where some irrigation's going on. But the problem that's caused is the mountain lions have followed through. His neighbor has 4 different mountain lions on camera this summer in their backyard. And he had they have some really big mule deer in that area, and they've seen maybe 2-3 with very mule deer all summer down in there in that area. So they said the mountain lions will eat basically 1 mule deer every 3 to 4 days. So think about that. 4 of them in just that one guy's yard, how many deer they can eat. So he said the mule deer population has went from nice to zero in a matter of about 4 months. And it's crazy what goes on in those areas. And so anyway, said the elk look good. And they got, you can't even use a chainsaw the drought so bad right there. They're, you're banned from using anything to cause a spark. It's that dry right now. So anyways, bad deal over there by Raton going on there. And I'm sure it's going on in anywhere. And I also was thinking, if Monty's listening, I was thinking they went out to the NRA deal out there between Raton and Cimarron, the shooting range and the museum out there. If you've never been to that deal out there, you need to go. It's worth a stop just to go in there and look at the museum on the different types of guns they got on there. And you can be a Democrat and go in there too if you want. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so Gary is a really good friend of mine that was introduced to me from K-Bar over at Canute. Dean introduced me to him. But anyway, they just got through doing the woodwork on the extension, the expansion of the museum. And I was going to call Monty this morning to see if he had seen what they was doing out there, but they just got through done in there. He said the tongue and groove board, he does really good, he's really good at work, woodwork. The tongue and groove board inside the new expansion onto the NRA museum, there's 2 miles of tongue and groove board in there. That's how many boards, feet of boards they put in there. That's a lot of wood. That's a lot of wood to put together, tongue and groove. 2 miles. Think about that. What is that? 5,200 times 2 miles, what, almost 10,500 lineal feet of boards that are tongue and groove they put together. It was crazy. But anyway, if you do, really, if you ever get a chance, I took Sandy there 1 year. But anyway, if you get a chance, go by the NRA museum and shooting range there between Cimarron, New Mexico, and Raton. It's a really neat place. And they're pretty cool people that work in there. Usually go into these museums and they've been working there like 25 years and they don't even raise their eyebrows up when you walk in. Just make sure you pay and don't touch nothing. Those people there, if you got a question, they'll usually answer them pretty good. So I thought it was pretty neat. So anyway, our El Nino pattern is changing. So we need to be careful. Well, before we take our last break, in addition to being the trusted voice for Oklahoma cattlemen, the OCA also serves as your state brand registrar. Is that how you say that? Brand renews on years that end in 0 and 5, and it's coming up next year. An official brand book is printed and distributed to local sheriff's offices, extension offices, and ag educators across the state at no charge. Now you can also access the state brand ownership records online at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association website under the Brands tab. Go to www.okcattlemen.org or call the office or get in touch with Miss Lori, 580-273-5137, to become a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, OCA. Fun place. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll finish the show up. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
His name was Richard Page, and in 1974, he started a jewelry business with his wife, June. A decade later, they turned it over to the kids, Van and LaVita Stout. Then in 2004, the third generation took the reins, Mark and Karen Stout. For 50 years, Page Jewelers has helped make Western Oklahoma more beautiful. They want to say thanks, and they want to celebrate their customers and their history. You're invited to the Half a Hundred celebration at Page Jewelers in Elk City this Friday. There'll be sales, sweets, and prizes. Sale items have been on Facebook in the 50 Days Till 50 promotion, and it all comes to a head this Friday. They're not holding back either. They're having sales on the good stuff. With every purchase this Friday, spend to win jewelry, rodeo tickets, and San Diego Padres merchandise. And you can enjoy refreshments while you're there. It's at 5th and Main, downtown Elk City. Come celebrate Page Jewelers' 50th anniversary this Friday.
Back in 05, I came back from college. I was just starting on the fire department, got on volunteer there. Yep. Brandon's down there. He hired me. He wanted to have a full-time apprentice and a full-time journeyman to have a full-time crew to start this company going. So I told him, okay, let's go. I don't know anything about it. I didn't even know what a wire nut was when he threw it to me, but now I think I have an understanding. I worked full-time as a crew for Culver Electric until I got on in October of 06 full-time fire. If I had to imagine any other jobs, there's nothing any better than this. The way they treat you is family, and I'm not taking that lightly. It is family, every bit of it. No matter what it is, we can troubleshoot, we can overcome any obstacle, and that's what I love about it. They know what day we're coming, what we're working on. We have the parts ordered and ready for it. So everything from the office staff to people working in the field, everything flows smooth through that to help the customer base.
Allow Mark Chester and the Culver team to provide you with exceptional service and attention to detail. Culver Electric, proudly serving Western Oklahoma for 20 years.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI Agritech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI Agritech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Push the button, baby. Push the button, and it'll come. Your voice sounds better when the button's. Let's go down to Mangum, Oklahoma, and see what's happening there with the weather. Uh-oh. I think we're having some malfunctions on the... there it goes. Because it says now at Buffalo, and then on the other side it said forecast for Mangum. I got a square now. I got Mangum on here. 96 degrees at Mangum, feels like 96. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point 61. Humidity is 32%. Winds are out of the south at 17 with some gust up to 18. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil. Temperature 92 degrees. Sunset at 8:12. Hot and 99 today. Looks like you're going to get there. That's what was disappointing yesterday. They said 96 for a high yesterday, and my truck said 104. Somebody lied. Mostly clear tonight, 70 degrees. Tomorrow, hot, 98. Southeast winds, 5 to 12 miles an hour. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Forecast for Mangum, Oklahoma. So one of my more intelligent listeners texted in, 10,560 feet in 2 miles. That's a lot of dang wood. That's 3,520 yards of wood. That's a lot of wood. Whew. Anyway, all right, let's talk about the, where did it go? Oh, I know where it is. Bear with me here a second. I found it. Nope, wrong one. Let me go back to another one. Oh, man. Me and technology, we're not the most beloved. Here we go. This is from Dr. Peel on the latest report from feedlots. As soon as I can get it open. There we go. I got her open. The latest USDA cattle on feed report pegged August 1st feedlot inventories at 11.1 million head, unchanged from a year ago. because of the strong seasonal variation in feedlot inventories. A 12-month moving average of feedlot inventories is the best means to see the actual trend in feedlot production. The moving average total of feedlot inventories peaked in September of 2022 at 11.887 million head before declining to 11.5 million head in September of 23. Total feedlot placements have decreased by 1.3% in the last 12 months compared to the previous 12-month period. However, in the last year, average feedlot inventories have increased 11.636 million head. Feedlot inventories have risen due to continuing feeding of heifers and increased days on feed. Feedlots have slowed the feedlot turnover rate enough to keep average monthly inventories higher despite fewer cattle entering the feedlots. Feedlot placements in July were 105.8% of last year. The placement total was slightly higher than the average trade estimate. July marketing was 107.7% a year ago, close to expectations according to this. July 24 was unusual with two extra business days in the month, meaning the daily average feedlot marketings were actually down by 2.1%. Okay, so the ex-cattle king, present cotton king, he keeps interrupting me with text messages here. He says, I'm learning. Yes, I am. But I'm learning, you guys, a bunch of my buddies that know the cotton king predicted it last year, and it's coming true. The cotton king informed me, what was it, Friday or Saturday, doesn't matter, over the weekend, that he is going back to the round cotton machine. How about that? You guys, I hope you had a pot going because somebody's rich. Anyway, the cotton king is going, he's not going to be tamping cotton anymore and stomping it and packing it and tipping stuff over. He's going back to the round cotton baler. How about that? Is that breaking news for some of you guys? Are you laughing right now because you were right? Oh, he's going to quit calling me. All right, let's continue on with some cattle reports. Current feedlot inventories mask the continued decline in feeder cattle in the U.S. Figure 1 shows the U.S. Well, you didn't tell me it was a secret. Figure 1 shows the U.S. cap crop from 2008 to 23 was with a projected 24 calf crop of 33.1 million head. At that level, the total calf crop is down 3.2 million head from the 2018 cycle. Anyway, at the peak, the projected 24 calf crop is the smallest total U.S. calf crop since 1941, based on an estimated crop prior to 1960, whatever that means. This calf crop figure includes beef and dairy, and so straight bred dairy as well as beef on dairy crossbred calves are included in this. So that's crazy. In the first 32 weeks of the year, total steer and heifer slaughter was down 1.3% from year over year, with steer slaughter down 0.9% and heifer slaughter down 1.9% compared to last year, with yearling carcass weights up sharply year over year, steers up 23.1 pounds and heifers 18.6 pounds. Fed beef production for the year to date is up 1.1% over last year. By contrast, non-fed beef production is down 13% so far in 24, led by a total cow slaughter decrease of 15.3%. That was something that was interesting when I was talking to my friend out in Raton this morning, that basically they've almost sold off all their cattle out there. There's nothing to eat. Nothing whatsoever. Cow carcass weights are up 10.7 pounds and bull carcass weights are up 28.8 pounds year over year. Total beef production is down 1.4% so far in 24 compared to last year. At the current rate, total beef production by the end of the year may be down 2% or less from last year. Less than this earlier, that's way less than their early expectations of 4 to 5% year over year in decreased beef output. So you can find this article on Cal Calf Corner, the newsletter from the OSU Extension. Easy to find. Just go Google OSU Extension Cal Calf Corner. Sign up for that newsletter. Dr. Peel, Dr. Beck, and Dr. Johnson will actually appreciate it if you will subscribe to that where you can get it every Monday morning. How about that? All right, let's see what do we got else. What we got here? Speaking of the Cotton King, since he's here, I might as well get on with this cotton report that I got Friday from the Cotton Council. Let's see here. What's of interest? They're having a director's meeting right now, it looks like, I think. And then, okay, here you go. Here's a way for you to make some money, Cotton King. This is all voluntary, too. The National Cotton Council and the USDA jointly announced the launch of the 4-bale modular averaging pilot program. This voluntary program, part of the USDA's cotton and tobacco program, aims to enhance cotton bale fungibility, is that how you say that? Through modern techniques, increasing efficiencies in the warehouse, bale selection, and improving overall quality. The incentive stems from the collaborative efforts of the NCC's Cotton Flow Committee and the Quality Task Force, which identify cotton bale fungibility. Is that how you say that? What is that? As the key area of mutual interest. The pilot program includes specific criteria for averaging bales and reporting data back to consumers or customers. Participation is flexible, allowing customers to submit modules in multiples of 4 up to a total of 48 bales. You listening there, Cotton King? Anyway, let's see here. What are we doing here? The USDA service agency announced in a notice published in the Federal Register that it is resuming issuance of emergency relief program. That's the ERP 2022 payments. FSA has paused payments due to an injunction issued by the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of Texas Amarillo area. And I know. And let's see here. The notice announces FSA is resuming issuance of ERP 2022. There you go. Let's see here. What else is going on? The freight deal in Canada is still going on. And Cotton Incorporated budget approved. Here we go. Here's some numbers. Net export sales for the week ending August 15th of 2024 were 104,300 bales. This brings the total of 2425 sales to 4.5 million. Total sales at the same point in 2324 marketing year was 5.4. And I know that number, 5.4 million bales, was down from the 2223 marketing year. Yep. So anyway, it's just not getting any better. Total new crop for 25-26 sales are 349,000 bales. Shipments for the week were 179,200 bales, bringing the total exports to date to 347,100 bales compared to 565,500 bales at a comparable point in the 23-24 marketing year. So anyway, that's your cotton update. So nobody know of anybody's got an irrigation well close to 9 and 30 highway south of or north of Hollis and west of Vinson, south of Eric, that they might want to sell some water out of it. I need 500 barrels. I'm trying to help a buddy out that's helped me out before. He let me have one of his frack tanks, two of his frack tanks back in, what was that, 22? What was that winter that was really cold? 22, 21, the February was when I was calving heifers. We put two frac tanks out there end to end and for a wind block for the heifers to get out of that brutal wind. Anyway, it was going. Okay, so you've heard me harp on this two times since I started the show, and I'm ending the show with a rant. People in the South Canadian, the Ouachita, maybe not so much on the Ouachita, but on the North in Canadian, South Canadian, Cimarron, and the North Fork of the Red River. There are people running up and down those rivers on UTVs and stuff. Guys, I know it's fun. I got a river there by my house, and I can go down on there. But when you go through destroying water gaps of people and their cattle get out, and he just had a little bit of surgery here a while back. I'm using this for an example. And the last thing he needs to be doing is chasing damn cattle on the river. So if you run the river, you know you're trespassing already. So there's cameras out. Your time's coming. I'm just letting you know you're going to regret this. So anyway, it's going to be the law, not some guy toting a shotgun after you. But anyway, be careful out there and be nice to your neighbors and appreciate the landowner's land and respect it. Anyway, you guys have a great day. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KTO, brought to you by the First National Bank.
Cool.
This is KECO Elk City.
Gold medal honors. I'm Therese Crowley, Fox News. For the Gold Star families, House Speaker Mike Johnson plans to award congressional gold medals to the 13 U.S. service members killed in the terror bombing at Abbey Gate, Afghanistan, 3 years ago. Former President Trump placed a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery. But the presidential team who signed off on the disastrous withdrawal, President Biden and Kamala Harris, did not attend. He's at the beach. She has nothing on her schedule. But they put out statements.
Today, both President Biden and Vice President Harris are offering renewed tributes to the 13 service members killed 3 years ago today. A review of the attack